Lepondre looking to get close side of Font. Lepondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Lucas Joao opener. Keeper curse continues and Reading's inevitable collapse. All upcoming today on the Elm Park Rules podcast, sponsored by Blue Collar Street Food. I'm Alex, your host, and I've been joined today by Matt Williamson. Matt, not a great result yesterday for Reading.
No, not a great result. And again, Alex, you've picked two Matts and you're going to have to differentiate us some way. So I'm looking forward to both talking about the game, but also your podcasting expertise.
This is fine. I've got it all under control because on the other end, I've got Matt Lansley. Lansley, how are we?
Morning, Paul. Oh, Alex, my brain is just, yeah.
That was the easy name as well.
That is the easy name. I don't know what I'd do if I was in your shoes. still reeling from yesterday and just tired of seeing us concede 3-4 goals. It's getting boring now, isn't it? It's just week after week, same thing.
It's getting boring now, isn't it? That's a great line for the title right there. 4-1 to Blackpool yesterday. And that is the 10th time that Reading have now conceded 3 or more goals in a league game this season. Matt Williamson, we started yesterday with the news that we had made two changes. Carl Hine out. Let's go straight into Carl Hine because he is out for the season.
Well, yeah, it was a bit of an odd one because he initially said that he was out for the season and then said, like, based on scans, he might only be out for, like, 4 to 6 weeks, which is a long time, but I guess we'll be back in time.
6 weeks takes us to the middle of April, so it's only going to be a couple of games after that, I think.
Yeah. So, 4 weeks, you know, might be okay. Obviously, it's just like peak Reading because I thought Hine was playing okay. Like, he hadn't done anything spectacular, but he also did what he needed to when called upon. Okay, his kicking is a little bit, you know, dodgy at times. He doesn't necessarily, you know, fill you with confidence in the way that some goalkeepers do, but he is a very young goalkeeper and he was making the saves that he needed to. So at the end of the day, that's what you want in a goalkeeper. Luke Southwood probably considers himself lucky to have come back in based on this because, yeah, I thought midweek was an odd time for the conversation around Carl Hine to change because I thought that he was at fault for the goal midweek. But yeah, I mean, it just sums up Reading's season, doesn't it? Like, you've brought in a guy, everyone's slated him to begin with. He's kind of started to get a little bit of momentum under his belt and then he goes and gets injured. And that is just Reading's season in a nutshell.
And of course, his injury hasn't come on the field, it hasn't come in training, but it has come because he's slipped over at home and torn a ligament in his thumb. So that, as you say, pretty much sums up Reading's season.
Yeah, I mean, there was something to do with a knife, right, as well. Like, some people mentioned a knife, some people mentioned him slipping over. Either way, it's very reminiscent of, not in quite the same manner, but Leroy Leiter's injury sitting up in bed. It gives me, you know, harking back to that. So, yeah, it's nothing new in Reading getting ridiculous injuries, but it just does seem to sum up this season.
Matt Lansley as well. The secondary change was Tom Holmes out of the side, also injured. And apparently he was injured before the game against Birmingham, according to Paul Ince, which was a surprise because he then proceeded to play 90 minutes, but was missing yesterday. Swapped out for Deli Bashiru, who came into the centre with Rinomota going to right back and McIntyre slotting in at centre back alongside Michael Morrison. Was Holmes a miss yesterday once we had McIntyre at centre back?
Maybe not centre back, because I think there's very little to choose between McIntyre and Holmes. I think the issues come when you're playing so many other players then out of position. You know, you're playing Rinomota out of position at right back, you're playing Yeardom out of position at left back, and you're playing Deli Bashiru out of position at a deep lying midfielder. That's where the issues have come, and I think that's where obviously Holmes may not have been a miss at centre back, but when you look at almost the ramifications that had on the rest of the team, it's quite a big miss, you know, in that respect, because, you know, when you're then playing three players out of position, no real left-footed left back, you know, you're just now looking at problems and looking at, you know, square pegs in round holes and everything. And it was kind of the story of the game.
Yeah, square pegs in round holes is really another thing which sums up Reading season, isn't it? So many cliches which apply to Reading this year. It's incredible. Matt, Reading started the game yesterday relatively well. We had a couple of chances early on, but nothing major. And the goal in the 17th minute from Lucas Shaw is his sixth of the season now. He's only actually started 9 games, so his return is incredible. But the work from Andy Iredom for the goal was top class.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what we've come to love about Andy Iredom is he can run past the player and he can put it in the dangerous areas if he wants to. If he's close enough to goal, maybe his actual crossing from out of the box isn't quite as good. But I think that's where it almost doesn't matter if he's on his on his weak side, because he's got into such a position that all he has to do is like just pass it back across the box. It's a really simple finish for Lucas Joao, but he does it well enough. I mean, I cannot remember the last time I've seen a Reading team score a goal like that. The kind of cutback, it feels like it's been absolutely ages, and especially like a fullback being in those positions, because yeah, I mean, like under Paunovic, we just didn't see them get that high, I don't think.
Very reminiscent of Tyler Blackett to, we scored Swift. 2 goals in 2 games with Tyler Blackett cutting the ball back.
Yeah.
Might have been Preston and Fulham.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tyler Blackett running down one side, cutting it back to Swift on the penalty spot and just slotting it home. Like, those are the 2 last goals that I remember scoring like that, to be honest. I'm sure that there have been some more recently than that. But that's the kind of pattern of play that you kind of want to see us do more. I'm not sure, like, it feels more like a fluke at this moment in time. Like Paul Ince has said, he's not had much time on the training ground, if any, so it's not like it's a worked on thing. But if we can harness that kind of Andy Iredom in the box, then I think that it's just going to lead to goals.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a case of relying on individual talent, Lansley, is what we were discussing yesterday. Because the goal itself came out of it. It's not that it came out of nothing, but the goal came out of relying on Iredom and Zhao to, I guess, individual talent is what I've said. So, yeah, it relied on them to come up with the goods rather than it being a situation that managed to find ourselves in multiple times.
Yeah. And we like you say, we mentioned it a couple of times during the game yesterday, because when you look at it, and yes, obviously Ince has only had obviously a week in charge of the team, you know, with 2 games in there, he's going to have little time on the training ground, but it was kind of the same under Paunovic, and it's there just seems to be very, very little game plan with the team. And I mean, going forwards, we've certainly got enough individual talent to get goals. You know, Zhao can make goals out of nothing, so can Swift, and if you can get a fullback like Iredom further forward, like Matt rightfully said, it's probably only going to lead to more goals. What that would do defensively is another question, but I mean, it was really nice to see, because also how many times have we seen that goal against us this season? I mean, we have conceded so many goals from cutbacks like that, and it's the simplest goal to watch, and it's probably one of the, well, might not be the simplest goal to do, but it's just, yeah, we've not seen a goal like that in some time. I mean, it gave you hope that, you know, that there might have been a change kind of in the air, you know, different things were starting to go for us, but the same frailties came to fore after that. And it doesn't matter how much attacking individual talent you've had or you've got, when you then start giving up chances and mistakes like we then did later in the game,
it didn't take Blackpool long to create chances. The first one being a header from, I want to say it was from a corner or a free kick, I think it was from a set piece. Southwood makes a great save, Matt.
It was actually a cross. It was a cross from the left-hand side.
But yeah, I mean, Southwood, I feel like we're going to talk about him more in this game. But that
we might as well. Let's discuss Southwood's performance now. I mean, what did you make overall of Southwood yesterday? We can come on to the other goals, which I know are going to
relate to
Southwood as well.
Pretty poor. I mean, that cross that you're talking about, that was a very fine save. I think he made another save at one point that was really good. And you've seen him make those kind of reaction stops like multiple times now and kept us in games. But the problem is, for the first goal, he's far too hesitant to come and claim the ball when it comes over the top. It is a difficult one because, like, that's not the situation that you find yourself in very often, like with players rushing out to get to the top of the box and a header coming back over the top. It's a bit of a strange situation, but he doesn't deal with it that well. And then, I mean, on the second goal, I think it's more Morrison than Southwood. I think the other attacker actually blocks Southwood off, but he's got a couple more situations where he's come for balls and not quite got there, or he's got there and he's dropped it again, but got a bit lucky. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't his finest game. I don't think that necessarily he's at fault for all the goals or anything, but
that first one
especially it is on him for me. I think, like, when you've got everyone else rushing up, you then have to take that space in behind.
Yeah, and not even just counting for the first goal, which we can probably at least attribute some of the blame towards Southwood for not coming out for this during the first goal. There was, again, Lansley, another drop from Southwood, and he just, whenever the ball comes in, especially from set pieces and corners now, when Southwood is in goal, it worries me because it feels like teams have pretty much got to the point now where they don't actually use their own, they don't go with their own set piece tactics anymore. And they are coming up with specific tactics to target Southwood at these, corners and set pieces.
Yeah, and like I say, it is becoming more evident because you're seeing it more times when he's playing as well. You know, it was clear to be fair to Blackpool, would they have really known Southwood was going to be in goal today? Probably not, because you probably would have thought Cole Hine would have been in goal, in all fairness. But you're seeing all of these crosses coming in, and just almost every single game there's one or two drops. You know, we were discussing it yesterday as well. Why doesn't he punch it more? Maybe he doesn't have the presence to punch it or the confidence to punch it, because if you're constantly dropping the ball, if you can't actually just claim a ball, surely you should just start just punching it, just get it away, because then at least you're not dropping it right at someone's feet, you know, or they're needing to make obviously a frantic clearance, diving on the ball, whatever you're going to do to then clear the ball. But he doesn't seem to punch it. Well, he did actually punch the ball once, one of the first times I've seen him punch the ball yesterday, but it was pretty poor when he did it. But yeah, it's a difficult one with Southwood, because now we pretty much know he's going to be in goal until the end of the season. You know, how long do you kind of, or what do you do with him? Because I mean, his confidence must be pretty low from the Hines situation. But you know, we need him to be better than ever, you know, for this running, because frankly, the amount of goals that we're conceding, you know, you're going to be relying on your goalkeeper quite a lot.
But I would come back to there that I don't think that necessarily he was at fault for the other three goals. Like,
no.
So yes, Southwood is an issue. An issue even feels a little bit harsh, but like, Southwood has his problems. But like, if you're conceding the kind of chances that we're giving up, then you're going to concede goals whoever's in goal. Like, I don't care if Alisson's in goal yesterday. Like, he doesn't necessarily stop some of those. And like, Morrison recently has had a really poor run of games, and like that second goal especially, where he just gets absolutely bullied by Medine, is like it's reminiscent of Lukasz Jau against Liam Moore last season, where he just got absolutely bullied. Like, if that was any other defender, I think, well, to be fair, I haven't really been on Twitter. I'm sure some people are shouting about it on Twitter, but like, it's the kind of situation where, like, you see other players get slaughtered for it. Like, he's not been strong
probably
enough.
Should have been a foul though.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's
like
be honest,
I do agree with that, but like the fact is he's been out jumped and out like muscled. Like, so yes, I think it should, like, or I don't know if it should be a foul, but I think 9 times out of 10 you get the foul for it. But he's just not been strong enough. And actually, like, most of the Reading players, I don't think they even really like appeal for the foul. Like, they just go back to setting up for the goal kick, kickoff.
Yeah. The second goal, as you say, I feel like probably pins more on Morrison. We got half time came, we got to 1-1 half time. Neither team really had a major chance from memory after the two goals. And it was, Swift had a good free kick, which was saved, which was actually, I think that was early on in the second half, Swift's free kick. To be honest, I figured that the first half played out, it was very similar, I thought, to the Birmingham game. I don't really think either team deserved to be ahead. Neither team had played particularly well. Half-time came 1-1. The second half, as Lance has just mentioned, Swift had a reasonably good free kick from 20 yards out or so early in the second half. A pretty good save from the keeper, puts it over. The second goal we concede is another corner. You guys have kind of touched on it. The Gary Medine has run out from inside of the goal, round Luke Southwood, and then kind of clambered over Michael Morrison. Michael Morrison, I think, yesterday was not... It wasn't one of his strongest games, again. And I feel like he's taken a step back this season compared to last season by quite a distance. And I don't necessarily think it's a case of he's getting outpaced, but it feels that technically he's a step below where he was last year, Matt, because even things like, I feel like simple 5-yard, 10-yard passes, we're seeing a lot more of those being intercepted for Morrison this year than we were last year.
I think part of it is that teams know that they can target him, and under Paunovic especially, like, they'd had a season, they played him twice, they knew what they were coming up against now. But like, to me, it's his aerial presence that's really gone. We've seen him be dominated by big strikers multiple times this season now. Like, you go back to early in the season and Chris Martin was winning all the aerial duels against him. And like, Chris Martin's an okay centre forward, but like, Michael Morrison,
he's not a dominant championship centre forward though, is he?
No, exactly. Like, I mean, Reading fans obviously have their own thoughts on Chris Martin, but like, he's been okay over the years, and it's just, that's the kind of duel where Morrison really needs to step up. Like, I think that this team would be hugely improved by having Scott Dann in it over Michael Morrison at this point. And like, I don't think we probably conceded that goal yesterday because of it as well. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one because, like, what can he do? Like, whatever the manager is, you come back to the fact that he really has no options here. Like, Morrison has to be playing. It's just trying to mitigate some of those issues he's having.
Yeah, when there's no one else there, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You have to play Morrison and you have to play McIntyre at centre-back. There's no other option. And it ends up with this situation where if we make defensive errors, it's very difficult to then say, well, we want to drop him. And this has been the situation with Tom Holmes over the last couple of months even. He probably should have been dropped at some point. He probably should have been rested, probably should have started a game on the bench, but he can't. And now the same situation is going to happen, I feel, with Michael Morrison, where realistically, it would be fantastic if we could bench Morrison for a game and start Scott Dann. But of course, Scott Dann is still injured. Don't know when he's back. I haven't caught up with any of the press conference from Paul Ince yesterday around injuries, but it wasn't a stellar Michael Morrison performance, certainly. And going forwards, Matt, in the second half, Lancey, Reading didn't really look all that dangerous, in all honesty. There was a a fairly sizable portion of the away crowd after, I would say, about 65, 70 minutes, who were quite vocal in chanting for Maite to come on. Presumably for Tom Ince, because Tom Ince yesterday was not great, I would say. He was very... The ball often was getting caught under his feet, didn't really create any major chances, and struggled to really get into the game particularly. The substitutions yesterday, let's come on to them. They happened when we were still 2-1 down, but they didn't happen until almost 80 minutes. Yaki Maite comes on for Tom Ince, and Tom Deli Bashiru came off for Ovi Ejaria. I mean, can you understand the subs, Lansley, from yesterday in terms of what the kind of, I guess, plan was to go to 4-4-2?
I can understand it to go 4-4-2. I probably would have made the changes about, obviously, 15 minutes prior to when they were, because it was quite evident for quite some time that change needed to be made. And to be honest, it would have been, it probably would have been Hoylett, because Hoylett and Ince were very ineffective, but I probably would have ended up bringing off Hoylett and Ince, because in the second half, they just became so... The game just passed them by. You know, they weren't affecting anything. Nothing really was going through them at all. You know, I can understand the going to 4-4-2 strategy, but, I mean, why we weren't looking at changes. I mean, we said it at the time, no one was even warming up 65, 70 minutes. It wasn't until about, it was like 74 minutes or so when Ejaria and Maite were sent out to start warming up, which I just think is criminal, really. You know, you're 2-1 down, and it's one thing, obviously, Paunovic got castrated for, you know, the substitutions, leaving it so late, always being at the 74th minute or so of games before he'd make his first sub. And we've got, obviously, Ince's interim charge for the moment, but it's the exact same. You know, it's almost like something in the club. Someone in the club is saying you have to make subs after said minute. It's a little bit amusing when you take it with a pinch of salt. But I mean, how Ince stayed on the pitch, I don't really know, because I mean, it just did not. Nothing really happened for him yesterday. I can't really remember anything or pinpoint anything that he did yesterday that was of much good or of much, you know, use to the team. And how a player that you say that about can last 90 minutes is a question in itself.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that Ince had a bad game or a terrible game or played awfully, but he was very ineffective.
It just didn't, nothing happened. You know, like when the ball came to Ince, nothing happened going forwards. A lot of the time he'd end up passing backwards. It was always the safe pass he was making. It was the same with Drinkwater pretty much yesterday, apart from a couple of weird passes that he tried to make. But it wasn't a bad performance, but just nothing happened. And when you've got a player that's essentially a passenger for 60, 65 minutes, you've got to at least just bring them off and try something else, because otherwise you're just playing with 10 men.
Yeah, I guess this leads me on to Tom Deli Bashiru yesterday, Matt, who was clearly not out of his depth, but he was out of his comfort zone playing in that holding midfield role.
I mean, it was an interesting one because he was playing alongside Drinkwater, but I think he was given a bit more license to go forward, and he wasn't really tasked with picking up the ball off of defence at all. So, like, all of that was left to Danny Drinkwater pretty much, which I thought Drinkwater had an okay game yesterday. I thought he cut out those passes where he's trying to play it first time and misses everyone. He played, I think, like one or two more expansive passes, which kind of worked. Deli Bashiru, I don't know, it just feels like a lot of the time the game passes him by, like wherever he's standing, whether he's at left wing, whether he's in centre mid. But
I feel like with Deli Bashiru, when he's not on the ball, he doesn't do any, like, he doesn't really do anything. And then when he is on the ball, it often seems to take him 4, 5, 6 touches to go anywhere or to do something effective with it, when you really need him to do it in 2 or 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a player in there, right? I think that we're not necessarily playing him where he should be played. to me, his skill set kind of seems like it would be best in a midfield three as like the shuttler, almost like with a bit more license to roam. He had one opportunity where he, I think it was after the Blackpool second goal, he kind of has a shot from outside the box, tackles the guy in possession, gets into the box, and then just kind of rolls it into the keeper. Whereas I think
it was such a weak shot, the second shot.
It wasn't, and that's annoying because that's exactly where we've seen Deli Bashiru kind of excel, is with his shooting at kind of in those situations around the edge of the box where he can absolutely leather it. But I don't think he was set up right. Like, I think that he, yeah, just never really got behind the ball. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that it didn't work, because I don't necessarily think that at any point he was an issue yesterday. I think I've said this about Deli Bashiru before. I didn't feel like he was a problem yesterday. I just don't feel like he was the solution again.
But again, all of this comes down to not having the squad to be able to fill a left back when they're injured, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Rinno at right back played okay. Like, I thought his recovery pace was really nice. I think that when he actually got back, he didn't necessarily make the tackle that you wanted him to, but that's understandable when you're playing a guy out of position at right back. He needs to be a little bit more combative at right back, I feel, than in midfield, because he tends to have cover in midfield, whereas at right back he didn't really. I think the whole thing comes back to, as you say, like individual pieces of skill being what Reading thrive off. And it's like, what do you want Deli Bashiru to do with the ball? Like, that's what it comes down to, right? Like, because at the minute, all you really want him to do is pass to Swift or pass to Zhao. And that, like, if that's all that he needs to do, I mean, he kind of did that yesterday. He didn't, you know, he wasn't massively disappointing in that regard. But what other pattern of play are we expecting from that guy in holding midfield? Like, if that was Laurent yesterday, would we have been upset with what Deli Bashiru had done? I understand that those names are confusing there, but
it would have been a very typical Josh Laurent kind of performance. I think if we'd seen that from Josh Laurent instead, it wouldn't have been that different.
No, and like that, I think that we're coming in with expectations of what we're hoping Deli Bashiru to do, and I don't think that he played badly. I don't think he played particularly well. I think that, yes, on the ball, the game kind of passed him by, but that was in part because of what I think was a conscious decision for Drinkwater to go and collect the ball more, which I think he did midweek as well. And like, when you have Danny Drinkwater, if you can get him playing well, that is what you want him to do. Like, that's what he's in the team for. So it's a bit of, I find it really difficult to critique Deli Bashiru yesterday, to be honest, because Yeah, for all the reasons above.
It's almost like this whole season with Deli Bashiru, it's very difficult to really say whether he's had a good or a bad season because of so many, all the reasons you've pretty much listed about yesterday's game, because it feels like Deli Bashiru's just everything. You don't know nobody seems to know what he is there for, really.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds harsh, but I feel like that's what no one really knows why he's here or what he's been brought here to do.
My worry with Deli Bashiru, like, playing deeper has always been that he's going to foul people too much. And, like, because I think he can tackle okay, but, like, around the box, he gives away way too many fouls. And even that yesterday he didn't really do. So I think he was fine.
That was a yes. That was pretty much where we ended up there. Deli Bashiru played okay. Matt Lansley, we went to 4-4-2 for the last 10 minutes, and I guess we tried to push players forward. We didn't create anything ourselves, but unfortunately this led to Blackpool scoring two goals on the counter-attack. The third one probably is worse than the fourth one. The third one is pretty poorly defended once it comes up to the centre circle, with Blackpool winning three headers in a row, with zero contest from any Reading players, with only, I think it's only three Reading players are actually behind the ball at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's a good ball through from, I want to say it was Dougal for the assist, and he plays Shane Lavery through, with a decent through ball. But Tom McIntyre's defending leaves a lot to be desired on this third goal.
I'm not going to lie. I do not share your opinion about it being a good through ball. It is quite possibly the most championship goal I think you'll ever see with the amount of hoofs forward. I mean, you can shake your head as much as you like. I mean, it gets hoofed forward from the right back. It gets knocked in the air by, I think it's their number 90. Actually, it was probably chap that scored, Lavery. Then Medine heads it into the middle and then it just gets lumped forward by Dougal. It's and then
accurate
it gets,
lump forward.
it's not your average pass forward. I think it's fair to say. I mean, it's just very championship. But then it doesn't even leave three players. I think it's just Rinomota.
In fact, I think it's Rinomota, Morrison, and McIntyre. Just watching the replay here now.
Yeah, because Morrison was another statement I had with Morrison yesterday. Is like, I don't really get why he's trying to press that ball, because when it's bouncing like that, yeah, when it's bouncing like that, it's way too easy to play over him. Like, I'd much rather he drops and like, but then he leaves the middle open, right? Which also is not necessarily the best idea. Like, this kind of comes back to the substitutions and having Drinkwater and Swift. It entirely comes back to having Drinkwater and Swift in midfield and going for that equalizer, which is why I can kind of stomach the goal, but not necessarily in the way that it was conceded.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the issue is we've conceded a goal which is not very good defending. Again, that's more what I would be upset about rather than the goal actually happening. It's another piece of defending which is just it's not even individual mistakes. It's just poor quality. Actually, the third goal, I think, as Matt said, Morrison stepping up to try and put a block in after the ball's already bounced is not. It's not what you'd want him to do. And then
he's just
McIntyre stepping off of Lavery as Lavery is coming towards the box. I'm not quite sure McIntyre realizes how deep he is. By the time the ball hits the net, McIntyre is, you know, very close to the 6-yard box. I don't really know what McIntyre's thinking is in terms of what he's trying to do there. I don't know whether he's going to attempt to block or whether
he gets stepped inside too easily as well, right? Like, because Rinomota's coming from that side.
I'm just not really sure what his plan is, McIntyre, when he's trying to defend there.
Yeah, I mean, good question. Who knows? I think that he's gone to kind of tackle him, I think, and just missed the tackle and Lavery stepped inside him and sorted it past Southwood. I kind of, at the time, thought Southwood might have done better with it, but I think that might be a bit harsh on him, to be fair. Like,
I'd agree. It's slotted right in the corner. I think Southwood would have done very well to get there. It would have been we would have been sitting here praising it as a good save if Southwood had saved that, certainly.
That's fair. I mean, but he's come out a long way, right? Like, he's cut the angle down. It's not like he's still on his goal line and he slotted it right in the corner. He has actually done the right thing. He's come out, I think. But maybe it's because I'm already in trying to pick holes in Luke Southwood mode that one for me.
Yeah, we probably don't need to go over Luke Southwood again. I don't really think either of these goals can be particularly pinned on him here, because the fourth goal, Lansley wasn't. The fourth goal didn't seal it because it was already over by this point, because it was the 90th minute and another goal conceded in injury time for Reading. A goal which was cut back from the left hand side over to the edge of the area. In the air. Is that a cutback? I'm not really sure. But it's a cross to the edge of the area from the left-hand side to, is it Bola who gets the fourth? And giving Bola credit, it's a really good finish. But unfortunately, it's another goal where I just feel like they found space far too easily.
They've found space far too easy, and organisationally, I mean, we're a mess at that point, quite frankly. I mean, you can see it in the third goal with how the team ends up being. And I mean, when you look at it back, I mean, you've got all four defenders and Drinkwater almost just in a cluster. You know, it's the organisation is just completely gone at that stage. It's almost like you've gone to Jose Gomez gung-ho football at that point and just trying to, you know, do everything you can to get an equaliser. And to be fair, you know, can I understand that at that point? I mean, if it works, you know, you'd probably say yes. But I mean, you know, I think ultimately you can't have, if you're going to go attacking, you've still got to have something in defence. You've still got to have some organisational pattern there. And it's just, you know, right from when it's out on the left and when it's cut in, you know, you've got Morrison and Morrison Rinomoto, sorry, on the right, trying to tackle. I think it's Hamilton that puts the cross in, which just it's just an utter mess when you look at it. And it's just classic Reading FC defending seemingly from this year. Another cross open. I mean, Chapu scores. He's in 5 yards of space. It's a good volley, but it's just, you can't let goals in like that, even when you're chasing the game, because when you're just throwing your organisation away, seemingly like we have done, you're going to concede goals like that. And it's a real element of the game that I know we've spoken about how much he'll be able to change on this, but Ince really has to try and get some organisation in this team, because there's just nothing at the moment.
And Matt, those late two goals that we do concede now gives us the unwanted title of having the most goals conceded in the Championship. And in worse news, it actually puts our goal difference to below that of Barnsley, who picked up a very good victory yesterday against Middlesbrough at home and are 6 points behind us with a game in hand, with their game in hand being midweek against Derby County.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit worrying. Barnsley could, I'd like them to stop winning. I mean, this result feel like, yeah, we're going to talk about goal difference and whatnot when things like this happen, but 4-1, I feel like it did flatter Blackpool a bit. Like, this could have been a 2-1 game and everyone would have gone home probably happy
less
enough.
Upset.
Yeah, less upset. Maybe that's better. Like, and if Reading had got it back to 2-2 with throwing those bodies on at the end, I think that's probably also a fairly fair result. Even if we didn't necessarily create that much. And I think that goal difference, you kind of hope that it's not going to be relevant this season. Because even yesterday, I think that there is enough in this team to pull us away from the relegation zone. It's just, you've got to keep players fit, which is a real worry at the minute. You've got to find Paul Ince has to. Well, this is the other problem. We have absolutely no idea what Paul Ince is going to do to this team. So kind of trying to hypothesize that before he's actually had a chance is difficult. But I think there is a route out of this for Reading, and I've kind of said that all the time, even with Paunovic in charge. Like, I think that there was a route out. It's just, yeah, every time we kind of start to pull away, we edge ourselves back in, and Barnsley in a month and a bit now could be a really big game. I think it's probably good that we still have to play them, just in case we need to kind of go back above them or pull ourselves away from them. But yeah, goal difference to me is obviously bad, but I think that if we're relying on goal difference, we're in a much worse place.
That is true. We've still got a 6-point gap. I feel like that's important to say. And we have actually been reasonably good against those teams who are in the bottom 6-7 places. We actually have only lost one game so far against the teams in the bottom 8 of the table. And that was Derby away. So the fact that we've still got to play away at Barnsley and, you know, Cardiff at home, Hull away, Swansea at home, these games are games where it feels like we could at least be picking the points. And it doesn't feel like anything's decided just yet. Although that game in midweek between Barnsley and Derby, it feels like there's no good result really, Lansley, for Reading.
A draw, I mean, but then it pulls Barnsley closer to us. I think really, you know, I think everyone just wants to see Derby gone. Nothing against Derby County fans, if there's one or maybe two that listen to this, I doubt there are. But I mean, Derby really are the only team you're actually looking at thinking we have, you know, a problem here with them chasing us down. And thankfully, obviously, they've lost a few games, lost a bit of momentum. But in the same essence with Barnsley having their upturn in form, 3 wins in 4, you know, quite frankly, now they're looking the ones who's going to be chasing us down. So, yeah, it's just, I think, really a draw. I mean, I'm going to be, and I've never wanted to see the dullest 0-0, I think, between both of them. I think, ever. You know, I just, yeah, if we get a draw, I think everyone would be happy, because I don't think really anyone really wants to see Derby win. Nobody wants to see Barnsley win. Just get a draw.
Yes,
yeah, is that
game,
too much to ask?
Yeah, it's a game. It's a game where I would be very, very pleased if there was two red cards and a 0-0, frankly. And that would be absolutely delightful. Reading host Millwall next weekend. And Matt, you will be back with the pod next week previewing that. But do you want to throw me a score prediction now, or are you going to hold off?
I'm going to hold off. Just build the suspense.
Build the suspense and make sure that people tune into the preview pod next week.
That's Lansley, what they tune in for, right?
I'm sure they do, right? Like, it's got to be part of the reason that you all tune in. Lansley, what score prediction are you going for the Millwall game next week?
God. Millwall are on a good run. They're on a very good run at the moment. Chasing down playoffs, possibly. I think it's a game that's a lot tougher than I think most people think. I don't want to be a baddie, but I think right now I'd be happy with the draw. I mean, I know we need to start winning games. I've said we need to start winning games, but it's a much tougher game than I think most people are giving it credit for next week.
We will find out how tough from Matt in the preview pod later in the week. Make sure, if you haven't yet, to click the subscribe button and you will be notified once that has been released. Thank you for tuning in today. Fingers crossed we get back to some kind of winning way next week against Millwall, and we will speak to you all then. Cheers.